Today we're starting a new sugya, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, going over Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We have the sugya of really several sugyas wrapped into one, but Zecher LeMikdash, and then we get into Chadash, which is a fascinating topic. How many of you were here when I gave a shiur on Chadash? I think I gave like a Thursday shiur on Chadash. Anyone? No? Nobody? Perfect. You were, but you're not sure, you don't remember? Yeah, I think this way we'll be able to look at the sources a little more carefully when we get to Chadash, and then I think there's some fascinating stuff about Zeichel HaMikdash from Salvechka. It's a beautiful Ha'ara that really clarifies the whole Shas Sugya of Zeichel HaMikdash. And then get into Beis HaMikdash, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Just a scheduling note, the last day of regular Shir is Tuesday, May 17th, which is 1 week from Tuesday. Last year we tried to give Shir through finals in Queens College, but apparently Queens College schedules all their finals in the morning, and like no one was here, so it was a total waste of time. I'd like to try to, till the summer's month starts, it was like June 13th, so it's like almost, it's 4 weeks in between, so like I'd like to try to arrange some sort of real learning, and maybe guys giving chaburas, maybe shiurim here and there in between. But you know, let's see if we can work that out. And obviously the base manager is open, and everyone should always feel free to come here and learn, and should learn whenever you have the opportunity to do so. I just didn't see it as being feasible to try to continue saying shir through finals. It just didn't work last year. Okay, so let's learn the Mishnah on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph in Maseches Sukkah tells us Prishona hi luluv nitol b'mikdash shiva u'b'medina yom echad. So luluv is taken on the first day, originally for 7 days. Not on the first day. Originally, luluv was taken for 7 days in the Beis Hamikdash, b'medina yom echad outside of the Beis Hamikdash for 1 day. Mishacharev Beis Hamikdash, but once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai she luluv nitol b'medina shiva zecher the mikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that luluv would be taken even outside of the Beis Hamikdash for 7 days as a zecher to the mikdash, v'sheh yomanev kulo aser. And also that Chadash should be asur the entire second day of Pesach. Normally the halacha is on a daraisa level. The Mishnah doesn't spell out what the daraisa din is by Chadash, but normally the din is mi daraisa by Chadash. There is a carbon called the carbon omer. The carbon omer has to be brought from the new grains that grew that year. Once the carbon omer is brought, everyone in Israel, the entire Jewish people, are allowed to eat the new grains that grew that year. Prior to the bringing of the carbon omer, no one is allowed to eat the new grains that grew that year. That is an Isser da'oraisa called Chadash. So mi da'oraisa, the carbon omer is matir the Chadash. It allows eating from the new grains. Interestingly, you're still not allowed to bring a carbon mincha in the Beis HaMikdash from the new grains. Even after you brought the carbon omer, you're still not allowed to use new grains to bring any sort of carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. That happens 7 weeks later on the Yantif of Shavuos when we bring the Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem is also brought from new grains. Shtei Alechem is two loaves of bread that are brought together with Kifsei Atzeres, with two sheep. And that is, it's a good thing I brought my Gemara Menachos with me, I guess. And that's also brought from new grains. Once you bring the Shtei Alechem, that's when you're allowed to bring Karbanos Mincha from new grains in the Beis HaMikdash. So both the Karban Omer and the Shtei Alechem are a matir. They're both matir something. Karban Omer is matir new grains for regular consumption, for normal people. And Shtei Alechem is matir new grains for the Beis HaMikdash. But we're focused on the carbon omer. So when you have a carbon omer, the chadash becomes mutter. So what about when you don't have a carbon omer? Then what's the din? When can you eat the new grains? You can't say that it's usher forever, because then like we'd still be eating the grains from the last year they had the Beis HaMikdash, and that would be like, you know, not so easy to do. So when does it become mutter? So the Mishnah doesn't tell us midoraisa what the din is. The Mishnah just tells us that they made a takana midrabanan that you have to wait till the next day. That the second day of Pesach, which is the day the carbon omer was normally brought, that entire day remains aser, and instead you have to wait till the next day. By the next day, for sure, it's mutter, even midrabanan. The Mishnah doesn't tell us midoraisa when it should have become mutter had the rabbanan never made this takana. But even without a carbon omer, at some point during that day, it would have become mutter anyway. Now the rabbanan said, no, not that day. You have to wait another day. You have to wait till the third day of Pesach, till it all becomes mutter. That was the din, midrabanan. The most obvious kasha task on this Mishnah is that this Mishnah appears in Maseches Sukkah, right? And the first part of the Mishnah is about lulav. That makes a lot of sense from Maseches Sukkah. But then it just throws in That, oh, by the way, there's also a Hilchos Pesach issue you might want to know, that the new grains are aser until the third day of Pesach. What in the world is that doing here? That's something worthy of thinking about. Any thoughts just off the cuff that anyone has about that? Why would we mention this here? So, Pashup Shad is that it's a Takanos Rabbi Yochum and Zakai. So, you know, that's the way our Gemara works sometimes. Like, you're telling me what Rabbi Yochum and Zakai made a Takana about, so tell me all of his Takanos. The only problem with that is we're going to find it doesn't tell me all of his Takanos. It tells me two of his Takanos. There are more. He made more Takanos, Zecher L'Migdash. And for some reason, our Mishnah only lists two of those Takanos that he made Zecher L'Migdash. Strange. Why would you pick, you know, I understand the Lulav one, that belongs. Why would you pick the Omer one? That's a little bit of a strange one. I mean, it fits us for this time of year. It's great to talk about the Omer, but it doesn't seem to fit in the context of the Mishnah. But let's go back to the Lulav one. Let's go back to the Takana about the Lulav. So the Mishnah was very clear that originally the din was that a Lulav would be taken for only one day outside of the Mikdash, and in the Mikdash was taken for 7 days. So what does that mean? Meaning, I don't live in the Mikdash. I don't live in the Beis HaMikdash. So do I have a mitzvah to take lulav in the Mikdash? Going back to the times when the Beis HaMikdash was around, right? When the halacha was, if you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the chiyuv is only one day, in the Beis HaMikdash, the chiyuv is 7 days. Having a chiyuv in the Mikdash for 7 days, does that mean that if I'm not there, I have a mitzvah to go there and then take lulav? Or is it, no, if you happen to find yourself in the Mikdash, you take lulav that day. Is it a chiyuv on every Jew to make it their business to get there? There's no mitzvah of Karban Pesach outside of the Mikdash either. But I can't just say, oh, I'm in New York, I guess I don't have to bring Karban Pesach. No, make your business, make your travel plans, get to Israel, bring Karban Pesach. You can't just decide I'm not going to bring Karban Pesach. You have to go and take care of it and do it. So, or do you say that no, that this is only a din for those who are in the Mikdash, but it's not a din on all of Klal Yisrael. So the truth is, I've read this Mishnah dozens of times, probably in my life, at least, and I never even thought about the question. I never even, until this time around, I never even thought about the question of like, wait a second, whose mitzvah is it? Who's obligated to go do this? Not nowadays, when the Beis HaMikdash was around, who's obligated to go take a lulav all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Aruch Lener, source number 2, writes, "Ava b'lulav shi mitzvah mutelas al kol Yisrael l'kaimu b'mikdash dafka, d'kol zayin ein a mitzvah rak b'mikdash min haTorah." So lulav, which is a mitzvah, what's the lashon? Hamutelas al kol Yisrael l'kaimu b'mikdash. Every Jew has to do this mitzvah of lulav b'mikdash for all 7 days. So Gazru Shlolito b'mikdash mishum gzera deraba. So he's talking about a different idea that they made a gzera not to do it on Shabbos. Okay, that's what the Aruch Lener is going to discuss in Daf Mem Gimel. But he just mentions, like parenthetically, that it's mitzvah mutelas al kol Yisrael. And he says that's why they made a gzera not to do it on Shabbos. It's dafka because every Jew had this mitzvah to get to the base of mikdash, take lulav. Had it been only the people who are around the Beis HaMikdash, who are the people that are around the Beis HaMikdash anyway? Who would that be a mitzvah on? That would be the Kohanim. Now, Kohanim, in general, we don't make so many gzeros on Kohanim. Because Kohanim, we have a concept, the Kohanim is Rizim Heim. They're very trustworthy, they're very careful about what they do, and we don't have to worry that less to come to this, that, or the other thing. So says the Aruch Lener, why did they make a gzera that you don't take lulav on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the big deal? Can't you trust the Kohanim? Aruch Lener says no, because it's not about the Kohanim. The mitzvah of lulav b'mikdash called Shiva is a mitzvah on everybody. And therefore they had to make a gzera, don't take it on Shabbos, because everybody, once it's a mitzvah on everybody, somebody's going to mess up and carry in Rosh HaSarabim on Shabbos and violate Shabbos in their efforts to try to do the mitzvah b'mikdash. So they made the gzera on Klal Yisrael. So says Aruch Lener, okay, they made the gzera on Klal Yisrael. Why didn't they just make the gzeira on Yisraelim and not on Kohanim? Or Levim and Yisraelim, not on Kohanim? So, oh, that you can't do. Once you make an gzeira, you got to make a gzeira across the board, that if you can't take lulav on Shabbos in the Mikdash and you're a Yisrael, then a Kohen's not allowed to do it either. That's the concept of Losas Godudu, that Losas Agudos Agudos. You don't want Klal Yisrael breaking up into different bunches, everyone with their own little thing, everyone doing their own different thing, that's not appropriate. So they had to make the gzeirah across the board. But the Aruch Liner seems to assume as a davar pashut, if there's a mitzvah b'mikdash, so then get to the mikdash and do the mitzvah. Any other mitzvahs you can think of that are like that, where every Jew has to go and do the mitzvah? There are a lot of mitzvahs b'mikdash that relate to the whole Jewish people, but most of them are about the Kohanim representing the entire Jewish people. Like, for instance, the mitzvah, any carbon sibur, the fact that we bring a carbon tamid in the morning and a carbon tamid in the afternoon, whose carbon is the carbon tamid? So it's not the guy who brings it, it's not his carbon, it's Klal Yisrael's carbon. The Jewish people have a mitzvah on the tzibur, on the entire nation, to make sure there's carbon tamid every morning, carbon tamid in the afternoon. It's a mitzvah of the tzibur, it's a chavas of the tzibur for sure. Lechem apanim, the fact that you need lechem apanim on the shulchan constantly, you can never have the shulchan empty from lechem apanim. It's a chavas hatzibur. Kohanim do it, but it's a chavas hatzibur. It doesn't require me to leave New York and go and make sure that it gets done, because the tzibur's role is to make sure that there are kohanim in the mikdash that are doing it. That's it. I just make sure that there's someone taking care of it, and then it becomes his responsibility. But it's my mitzvah also, because it's the entire Klal Yisrael's mitzvah. You have certain things that, for instance, we just discussed in Daf Yomi recently, certain things that are a little more iffy. There's a carbon called the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, every single day, had to bring his own carbon, a carbon mincha. He would bring an isarun, a flour, from his own money, from his own house, not from the communal funds, every morning, split it into two parts, take half of an isarun in the morning, half isarun in the afternoon. It was like his own carbon tamid kind of thing. He would bring his own carbon mincha. So it seems that's obviously a personal chiyuv. So the discussion, what about when the kohen dies and they haven't appointed a new kohen yet? Whose obligation is it? Is it his heirs, his yarshim, his children, that have to bring it? Because it still needs to be brought. Or is it Klal Yisrael that is brought from communal funds? But even if it is Klal Yisrael, no one has to go. Just have someone do it. I don't know of any other than, let's say, Korban Pesach, I'm trying to think what else. Other than Karm Pesach, really, Aliyah L'Regel, you know, the Shalmei Chagiga, things like that, that a person brings on their own. I don't know of any other mitzvah that is a mitzvah b'mikdash that's a chiyuv on all of Klal Yisrael to actually go and do it. What? Hakel is a good one. The nature of the mitzvah by Hakel is that it's for everybody. Meaning, over here, it's such a unique mitzvah, because it's a maisa taking a lulav that anybody theoretically could do. The difference between this and like karbanos is that karbanos I can't do. No, I'm a Yisrael. So over here, lulav, anyone could do lulav. Hakel, the nature of the mitzvah is that everyone has to be there. That's the whole mitzvah, is that everyone has to be there. Even nashim v'taf, even women and children have to be there. That's an excellent example. That really frames it well, because here's lulav right in between. You have Hakel, which obviously has to be everybody. Karbanos, which can't be everybody, but it's everybody's responsibility to make sure that they happen, like the Karban Tamid. And here you have Lulav, which theoretically could be everybody, but does it have to be everybody? So the Aruch Liner seems to assume there are certain mitzvahs you can only do in certain places. This happens to be a mikdash mitzvah. So go to the mikdash and do it. But there are other mitzvahs that can only be done in certain places, where you have to go to those places and get it done. Any other mitzvahs can you think of that? Not lav dafka the mikdash, that you have to do somewhere, that it's a place-sensitive mitzvah. There are a lot of mitzvahs that are time-sensitive mitzvahs, situation-sensitive mitzvahs. Are there any place-sensitive mitzvahs that you can only do in a certain place? If you're not in that place, you have a responsibility to get out of where you are and go do it in that place. So one might argue sukkah, the whole mesechta is about, you know, if you're in your house, you have to go to the sukkah. It's the only place you can do the mitzvah of sukkah. But over there, it's not doing the mitzvah of sukkah in a sukkah, it's the place is the mitzvah. Think of one? Ma'aser Sheni. Ma'aser Sheni, excellent. That's an excellent example. Right? That's an excellent example. A place-sensitive mitzvah, you can only do it in Yerushalayim. Assuming there's a mitzvah sachilas ma'aser Sheni, that when you're eating it, it's a mitzvah, as opposed to, meaning, one yesh ladun on ma'aser Sheni, and what exactly the mitzvah is. You could argue that hafrasha is the mitzvah, just setting aside ma'aser Sheni. When I go to Yerushalayim and I eat it, it's just the only way that I'm allowed to get rid of it is by eating it in Yerushalayim. But pasha pshat, you're absolutely right, that it's a mitzvah sachila in Yerushalayim. And the only way to do it, but let's say I wanted to send my ma'aser Sheni fruits with somebody else and let them eat in Yerushalayim. Did I do anything wrong? Presumably not. Right? I'm allowed to do that. For instance, it's part of the system. If I'm a farmer and I have a massive amount of my sasheni, so how much am I in Yerushalayim for already? I'm there for Shalosh Regalim, I'm there for a week each time, and that's it. How am I going to eat all that stuff in such a short amount of time? So what do? I eat whatever I can. Whatever I can't, I leave for the people in Yerushalayim to eat. That's how we keep pumping money into the economy of Yerushalayim, by making everyone come. Everyone takes their vacations in Yerushalayim. There's no Florida, there's no, you know, everyone goes straight to Yerushalayim, and like, oh, that's where all the money, that's the big tourist attraction, all the money gets pumped, and all this food gets brought to Yerushalayim, and if I can't bring the food, I bring my Sasheni money, which is even better, because that will last forever. And that all has to stay in Yerushalayim and get spent on food in Yerushalayim. But is it my mitzvah? That's a din in the Chefza, that my Sasheni has to get to Yerushalayim. But there's no din of the gavra that I need to do a ma'isa mitzvah in Yerushalayim. I'm trying to think. I just never thought of this. Like, is there any other mitzvah that I need to be in a certain place to do the mitzvah? Ma'isa sheni is the closest example I guess we could think of for right now. But even that, it's a din of the chefza. It's the ma'isa sheni needs to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It's not that I have an achrayus to eat ma'isa sheni in Yerushalayim, because if I'm not hungry and other people want to eat it, because they let them eat it. I don't even need to go to Yerushalayim. Let them bring it to Yerushalayim and eat. There's no mitzvah for me to go to Yerushalayim and eat my Ma'aser Sheni there. Any other mitzvah like this? I don't even know if there exists such a mitzvah.
I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. It's like you have to be able to like see the walls of Yerushalayim or the Goshilo to either give a korban or something.
Okay, that's Re'iyah. But I guess that's similar to Karban Pesach. In the sense that when you're Ola L'Regel, there are certain korbanos that you have to bring. And you have to go there, and you have to bring those korbanos. I guess that would be the best, probably the best example. You have an example?
Seder second night.
Oh, but if you're in Israel, you have no chiv to leave to go do a second night seder. Meaning, I'm trying to come up with an example where you're not there, and you have to go there. Dafka to do this mitzvah, right? So it would seem that. That's just the situation. Okay, you happen to be here, do it. Right, so it's in, I guess Karban Pesach is and these korbanos, the kinds of korbanos that you must go to Yerushalayim and bring, it still seems a little different. I'll tell you, yeah.
Maybe it's like learning in a base measure. It's like you're supposed to go to learn. Like,
technically, you could do Talmud Torah anywhere. I was thinking about Kriyas HaTorah in the shul. Technically, you make a minyan anywhere to do Kriyas HaTorah.
How about Kiddush Levana?
Kiddush Levana, you need to be outdoors. And if you're indoors, you have to go outdoors to
and
do Kiddush Levana. And what?
And
it's a mitzvah on you.
It's Dirabanan.
It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. But still, it's an example. It works. It's a Birchas HaShavach. That's a good one. Okay. You definitely need to be outside. That's a good one. Okay, so I always like to categorize mitzvahs. You know, this one seems to be a little bit odd. So Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, in his commentary on Sefer Mitzvos Rav Sadia Gaon, if you ever see the Sefer, Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau and Sefer Mitzvos Rav Sadia Gaon, it's three giant volumes. If you ever actually saw the Sefer Mitzvos Rav Sadia Gaon without Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau's commentary, it's like two sides of a page. it's like a poem he wrote that included 613 mitzvahs, and each line was like a different mitzvah. Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlau turned it into, you know, he turned it into like a giant sefer. So in the back he has miluim that aren't directly on, you know, like extra essays that aren't directly on the sefer mitzvahs. So he discusses this topic over there, and I just want to go through it with you a little bit. Anyone go through this during Seder, this source number 3? Did a little bit? Okay, let's go through it together. Let's see if we... Because I don't want to just say it outside. Avladidi tmi'ali tuva bi'ikr datsa ramam zal v'siyato b'zeh mi'mishnasenu gufa. It says, Dari pshita vadai, de mitzvahs lulav de mikdash havle mitzvahs asei gemura b'kumva asei mamish k'mitzvahs asei de lulav b'gvulin. Very strong statement to begin with. The mitzvah saseh of lulav in the mikdash is... you must go and do this mitzvah the same way when you wake up in the morning in Gvulin, outside of Eretz Yisrael on the first day. You can't say, oh, I'm not in the mood for Lulav, I don't have one in my hand, I don't have to do the mitzvah. No, you go and you do it. You have to go and take care of it. Ve'in shum chilik b'neim, elamayit b'gvulin ein noheges al b'yom rishon, midrsiv al kakam cham b'yom rishon, midrsh noheges kol shiva. The only difference between the mitzvah in the mitzvah for seven, in the mitzvah for seven and gvulin for one day, is the amount of days that you do the mitzvah. But other than that, the mitzvahs are identical mitzvahs. They are not different mitzvahs. Here it is, explicit. Just like you have an absolute obligation, begvulin, outside of the mikdash, to take a lulav on day one, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel like you're in a situation where you have a lulav, no, you get to a lulav and you take it. So in the Mikdash, you go to the Mikdash. I don't care if you're not in the Mikdash, so go there. You go to the Mikdash, you take Lulav, come out, huge nafkamina lemaisa. If you hold like the Rambam, Shitas Rambam, which is, that, and this is what he's picking on a little bit, Shitas Rambam is that Bizman Azeh, let's start with this. Rambam holds two things. First of all, the Rambam holds that the definition of Mikdash doesn't mean Beis HaMikdash. It means the entire Ir HaAtika, the entire old city of Yerushalayim, has the din of Mikdash. Second important sheet of the Rambam is that Kedusha Rishonah Kitchel L'Shaitav Kitchel L'Yasad Lavel. The original Kedusha of Mikdash is still there. Kedusha didn't go away after the Churban HaBayis. Put two and two together now. What is Mikdash? The whole old city. Does it still have a din of Mikdash? Bizman Hazeh? Yes! So the Rambam would hold. Mida Oraisa, you have to take Lulav in the old city for all 7 days. Outside of the old city, it's only Midrabanan, Zecher the Mikdash. But the Mitzvah D'Oraisa still applies, says the Rambam. Now put the last thing together, what Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlau said. Well, what is this Mitzvah B'Mikdash Kol Shiva? It's a Mitzvah that every Jew, no matter where you are, gets himself to the Mikdash and takes a lulav. I am not in the Mikdash. Get there! That's your Mitzvah! Go there and take a lulav! It would turn out that Bizman Hazeh, we still have that same obligation. We've all been negligent, except for those that are all the regal. We've all been negligent in this obligation of going to Yerushalayim and making sure to take a lulav. The mikdash kol shiva would be a huge problem. He says, "Vim kein memelim avur dil dasa Rambam zal v'siyato." According to the Rambam and his helpers, doesn't really mean helpers. Doesn't mean, you know, people who agree with him. The gam Yerushalayim b'chal mikdash, he gam achshav mishchar beis mikdash. That even Yerushalayim is called mikdash even now. Adayim chavos mitzvah say zudar reis. Adayim b'mkama medes. The mitzvah is still there. Kedmei karav as much beis mikdash avakayim, just like it was there when the beis mikdash was around. Shari ledas haram zal gufei el chesbeis bechir perik vavalach yidal v'tes zayin shabi tes vav probably. Kedushas Yerushalayim mikdash kitchel l'shaidav kitchel l'aslava. Because the Rambam holds the kedusha is still there. V'chein b'kol kedushas mechitzos v'yirlei shekitchagam la'asid lavo t'taypa la'asid lavo afal pishanaf la'mechitzos. The Rambam holds any kedushas mechitzos. What does he mean by kedushas mechitzos? Anyone familiar with that term? There's a Mishnah, I think in, where is it? Midos? That goes through asara kedushos. That there are 10 kedushos. We think of, Israel is much holier than America, and Yerushalayim maybe is holier than the rest of Israel. Those are two of the levels. But they're actually Asara Kedushas. There are 10 levels of Kedusha, and each one has its own Mechitzos. So a lot of them have Mechitzos, literal physical Mechitzos, like around the Azara, around the, you know, around the Harabayas. The Kosal HaMaravi is the Kosal HaMaravi of the Harabayas. So you have all these Mechitzos. What about the fact that there's no other Kosal around the Harabayas anymore? So does Harabayas lose its Kedusha? Rambam holds no. The Kedusha, any Kedushas Mechitzos, the Kedusha is still in place, even though the Mechitzos aren't there. Mechitzos is just an expression we use to mean like a borderline, a boundary between two different levels. But the Kedusha is still absolutely there. Vim Kain, Kol Misheno Ba, Filu Bizman Hazeh Yerushalayim B'Chag HaSukkos, Chai Mitzvah Seh Delulav Kol Shiva, Hareza Over B'Mitzvah Saseh D'Araisa, Dichsev Esvachtam L'Fnei Hashem Elkechem Shavas Yamin. Anyone who spent Sukkos in North Woodmere this past year, or any other place outside of Yerushalayim, it's as if you didn't put on tefillin. It's like not putting on tefillin for a week straight. You were mevatel mitzvah d'oraisa. It's like not putting on tzitzis, for worse than not putting on tzitzis. It's like not putting on tefillin. Totally mivatal mitzvah say da'oraisa. Da'af pisha kolamna tamei mesim, v'yev shalami li'tar. Even though we are tamei mesim, and we can't become tahar from tamei mesim, me'achar shein lan away for para, because we don't have a para aduma, v'anachna asurum lava l'makam ha'migdash, and we can't really go to the mikdash. No, we can't go to the mikdash, but we can go to the Rambam's definition of mikdash. We could be Yotzi in Yerushalayim also. Umilvada davar tamua mitzaratzmo shalom nesaru b'zeh poskim klum. Thing is, like, it's a great. On one hand, if this was just like talking and learning, you know, it's a great chiddush, but it's obviously wrong. Why is it obviously wrong? Because for centuries, no Jew ever thought of this idea. No great rabbi ever said, oh my God, we have to go to the base of Israel. We have to go to Yerushalayim every single sukkahs in order to do this mitzvah. No one ever thought of it before me, says Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlow. And therefore, this must be wrong. And let me ask you, did the Rambam go to Yerushalayim for sukkahs? No. He stayed in Egypt. The Rambam never even says you have to. So that's kasha number one. How in the world do we make sense of this? There's a mitzvah to go. How could we not go? He says, anyway, I have a major kasha. Deaton Cain, this is the bomb kasha. Why do you make a takana zecher l'mikdash? Why did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai make takana zecher l'mikdash? What was he trying to accomplish? Come on. I mean, I'll wait. Why do you make takana zecher l'mikdash? Well, let's start with this. When did he make takana zecher l'mikdash? What happened? The Churban, right? Why would you dafka make takanas right after the Churban Abayi, zecher l'mikdash? What are you trying to do?
Remember
the mitzvah. The mitzvah is no longer there, and therefore you need to remember the mitzvah. You used to have a mitzvah that was there when we had a Beis HaMikdash. People are going to forget that there even exists such a mitzvah because there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash. The whole thing is changing. So we need to institute something new to remember that mitzvah. According to the Rambam, Lulav Nitol B'Mikdash Kol Shiva means Lulav is taken Yerushalayim for all 7 days. Yerushalayim is the whole city of Yerushalayim. And it still has Kedusha nowadays, even after the Churban. Nothing changed. The Churban didn't ruin this mitzvah at all. You want to make a Zechel and Mikdash to remember the Korban Omer? So tell me I have to count Sfiris Omer and say, Arachamon, Yachzilon, Avos, Besom, Luzum, Korban, Erev, Yamein, Omer. Great, that's fantastic. We don't have a Korban Omer anymore. That's an excellent place to make a Zechel and Mikdash. But we still have Yerushalayim. It still exists. It's still on earth. It still has its Kedusha. We still have a mitzvah d'oraisa there called Shiva. The mitzvah's not gone. The mitzvah's still there in its original form, according to the Rambam. Why would you make a takana zeichel mikdash for something that you still have? Dimkein lama tikin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai she'lul nito kol Shiva zeichel mikdash. Why would you make such a takana? Kivin the mitzvah sluv the mikdash called Shiva mid'oraisa. No heges kama idna bizman hazeh kidme ikara bizman shemizim k'shoy kayam. Mitzvah's there every bit as much today as it was when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. The very words as a remembrance of what they did in the Mikdash. No, we do it today. Says Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlow, I cannot believe that no one else thought of this. This is too big a kasha. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I didn't think of it even, and I'm not even so smart. Like, I was like, I knew this halakha. I always knew this Rambam. Rav Shechter loves this Rambam. He always says over this Rambam about how, because there's a chiddush of the Mishkanos Yaakov, we saw the Aruch Lener, Mishkanos Yaakov, the Aruch Lener, and his other sefer, and his, I don't know what it's called, whatever it is. But there's a chiddush that you have to, that if you're in Yerushalayim if you're in Tel Aviv, let's say on Chol HaMoed, and then you travel to Yerushalayim later that day, you should take lulav again, because in Tel Aviv you're only yotzei mitzvah d'rabbanan. In Yerushalayim, according to the Rambam, being yotzei mitzvah d'oraisa. So I always knew this Rambam. How did I think of this? What kind of takana, Zechel HaMikdash? It's still there. The mitzvah's still there. So, two kashas. Number one, how come no one ever thought of the idea that every Jew has to go to do it, has to go to Yerushalayim to do it? And we should even bezman hazeh. Number two, what kind of takana, Zechel HaMikdash? Ve'ein lomar da'afilu la'asovim de'mikdash kol ha'nam Yerushalayim ha'nu dafka bezman shabesim v'shkayim. And don't tell me that the idea that the Rambam has, that the entire Yerushalayim has a din of Mikdash, is only true when there is a Beis HaMikdash. Then the Kedusha, because there is an implication from the Asara Kedushas, that the Kedusha all starts in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and spreads from there. So one could have argued, yeah, the whole Yerushalayim has a din of Mikdash, but that's only when it's emanating from a Kodesh HaKadoshim and then going beyond there. But like, when you don't actually have the Mikdash, one could have argued that maybe Yerushalayim is not the same Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael is not the same Eretz Yisrael, meaning it might shter all the other Kedushas. Yeah?
Can it be that nowadays, since we don't have like Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that Yisrael doesn't really, you know...
What do you mean we don't have Yishuv Eretz Yisrael?
There's the majority of Jews
in Eretz
Yisrael, and like, there are other mitzvahs.
You're not saying that we don't have a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or you are saying that?
I'm assuming we do, or I don't know, like...
Because like, I believe strongly that we do have a mitzvah of Yishuv. Like, Sapper Rebbe thinks we don't. I'm just saying, like, I think we do.
We
have a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of living in Israel. Even Ramosh Feinstein was asked about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He said it's a mitzvah's reshus, which is a very strange concept that it even exists, such a concept, that you have the option to do that mitzvah. But mitzvah kiyumis is what he calls it. That if you go, you're mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa, but you don't have an achiv to go and do it. The very word mitzvah means commandment, so it's a very strange thing that there's an idea of mitzvah kumas. The most famous example is the Gra's understanding of matzah throughout Pesach. The real chiv of matzah is the first night of the Seder. The Gra holds any matzah you eat, shmura matzah, throughout the 7 days of Pesach is a kiyum mitzvah of a chiv matzah. But you're saying something else. You're saying that not having the majority of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael affects something about Eretz Yisrael, and that is true. There is a din. We are not knowing Yovel Bizman Hazeh. Even though we're knowing Shemitah still, we're not knowing Yovel Bizman Hazeh. Because the halacha of Yovel is you're only knowing Yovel when it's Rov Yoshveha Aleha, when the majority of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. You want to tie in a therefore what?
Therefore, the mitzvahs that are applicable directly in just Yerushalayim might not apply today.
Okay. So similar to what he's saying, I gave one reason just because of the lack of the Mikdash. You're saying, forget about the lack of Mikdash. What about the lack of people, the lack of Jews in Eretz Yisrael? Pretty soon, by the way, it will be Rov Yoshveh. We're heading there quickly to Rov, for sad reasons. I mean, it's not because of the great Aliyah movement. It's mostly because of intermarriage and the Chutznik community dying out, that we're losing Rav Yishvel. I mean, that we're going to gain Rav Yishvel, that we'll have to deal with the Yovel problem. There's also an idea, by the way, that the Poskim discuss about whenever something is a Klal Yisrael din. This is not so related to this, but whenever something is a decision of Klal Yisrael, that the only people that have the right to be included in Klal Yisrael for Klali decisions are Jews who live in Israel. That Rav Shachter has a piece in Big Ve'atzon, in the Sefer Big Ve'atzon. That's Yom Ha'atzmaut tomorrow, right? So Tuesday tomorrow, Machlokas, I think. It's Machlokas. So it's what to do in America, because in Israel they're doche, but because they don't want Chil Shabbos Yom Hazikaron. Anyway, the Rav Shachter has a beautiful piece. I strongly recommend it, by the way, called Begidre Medinas Yisrael Umelchamoseha. If you're not sure what it means to be a Zionist, and what it means to believe in Aschalta de Gula, and you know, like what it's all about, he gave me such clarity. That piece gives me such clarity and vision of like how I view Eretz Yisrael from a purely Torah Zionist perspective. Fantastic piece. But one of the things he suggests with Mar Makomos Kedarka B'Kodesh is that when, let's say, land for peace decisions. Is obviously way off topic, but let's say like land for peace decisions. Should we give up certain amounts of land for the promise of peace? So I don't know. Do I trust them? Are they peace partners? Who am I making the deal with? Am I ever allowed? So he compared it to a chole. He said it's like a person who's sick and has to go through an amputation. So is the amputation worth it for him or not? Well, it really depends on the details. Who gets to make the decision whether it's worth it? Whether it's worth the loss of pain and the risk and whatever. Who gets to make that decision whether it's worth it? So the halacha is, you should know, the halacha is the chola himself gets to make that decision. Not only that, if the chola is unable to make the decision, let's say the chola is out of it, in all these kinds of decisions, then it's not the chola's family that gets to make the decision. It's the chola's family that's most equipped to decide what the chola would have decided. A lot of times the family will decide what's best for them. That's not the decision. That's not the halacha. The halacha is they have to decide what would he have said if he was of sound mind and reason. It's a completely different process when you think of it from that perspective. But he said that that's what Land for Peace is. It's an amputation that only the chola can make that decision. So who is the chola? Who gets to make that decision? So it has to be people who are Eretz Yisrael Jews. Only Jews in Eretz Klal Yisrael has to make the decision. And only Jews in Eretz Yisrael count as Klal Yisrael toward that decision. The Jew in Chutz Lartz may have strong opinions, he doesn't get a vote. So really, technically, if we had a vote amongst the way to make such decisions would be a vote amongst all of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, which is a phenomenal thing to think about, how exactly that would work. It's not so easy. Anyway, so question number two is, again, like we said, that why did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai ever make a takana? And don't tell me that Bizman Azeh, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim doesn't really have the Kedusha. And that we shouldn't have a mitzvah of 7 days of taking luv in Yerushalayim anymore. Don't tell me that. The reason you shouldn't tell me that is because that's totally patently false. He says, because if that were true, I wouldn't need any limud to tell me not to apply the normal dinim of Ma'aser Sheni b'zman hazeh. Meaning, obviously, if Yerushalayim didn't have the status of Yerushalayim anymore, then of course I'm not going to have the normal halachos of achilas Ma'aser Sheni b'Yerushalayim b'zman hazeh. Why do I need a limud from a pasuk? But there's a Gemara Tamura, Gemara Makos. Learns that from Psukim that the din of Ma'aser Sheni b'Yerushalayim doesn't apply as normal b'zman hazeh. What do we? You're in Eretz Yisrael. You separate Ma'aser Sheni. You go. You bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. No, it's not what we do at all. Why not? Because we have a drasha. Not because stam the Yerushalayim doesn't have its status anymore. Uktsasa Yimakum Lomar, second paragraph. After he says, Vadover Plia Niskava, Vitzarachim Gadol. Unbelievable kasha. I think these kashas are unbelievable. Uktsasa Yimakum Lomar, Zal Kalpanam, Latarits, Takonis, Rabiokum, and Zaka, Lithium, Hamvur, Besugia, Parakam, the Megillah, Dav Yeram Alf, Parabes, the Shvus, Tazayan, Amalav, Buzvachum, Kovzayan, and Bez. Abakis. Three Gemaras will help us answer this. The Ika Tanayi, the Svirle, there are shitos in Tanaim you should know that don't agree with the Pesach of the Rambam, that think that it's a machlokas Tanaim whether Yerushalayim still has its kedusha or not. Good. El de la Rambam zal siyata lo kaimel and kavasayu paskal alach kanach Tanaim amoraisis filei hasam dibe kedusha Yerushalayim amikdash kedusha rishon kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel asalavo. The Rambam and his support group tend to believe Paskin, like those Tanaim, that the Kedusha still is there, but know that there's a dissenting view, there is another opinion. Elo dalaramus alvasiato, lo kaimel and kavasayu. Upaskul alach kanach Tanaim, amarad sri lasam Kedusha slayim, amikdash Kedusha shana, did I just read that kitcha, shayta v'kitcha last level? The Rambam just happens to not Paskin like these Tanaim, but these Tanaim exist and hold that the Kedusha is not there. Oh, so how does this help us? V'im kein yesh lomar, yesh makam lomar, dil rabiachum in zakai sfir lei, Kahanach Tanai. Unbelievable. You ever think maybe we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, we just say it. Oh, he made these takanos for all the Klal Yisrael. You know why he made these takanos for all the Klal Yisrael? Because he held that Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha anymore. We don't necessarily hold that, but he held Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha anymore. If it doesn't have Kedusha anymore, then there's no mitzvah of Lulav Kol Shiva. Then when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they lost that mitzvah. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai thought, I better make a takana to bring it back. Kanach tonight is Svirulu, I guess. Bigdush Slime Amigdush Lo Kitchel Las Lava. Vim Kane, Mishacharav Haya, Haisa. Oh gosh, I totally messed up the typing over here. V'chavri Yushalayim, Habayis, it should be Mishchar V'Habayis, V'chavri Yushalayim, Batla Kedushasan, U'memele Batla Gamkein, Mitzvah Sluv, Kol Shev V'Demikdash. So according to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's own opinion, there is no longer a mitzvah of Luv of Kol Sheva. V'chein Shapir Hutzrach Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, L'sakim D'Gvulun Nitol Kol Sheva Zeich L'Migdash. So you needed to make a takana. Odinit, but wait, what would that mean for us? Would that mean that we, if we want to pass on like the Rambam, that Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel Shaitim Kitchel Aslavo, and Yerushalayim still has that Kedusha, then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana is invalidated, and therefore, if I feel like not taking Lulav in North Woodmere on days 2 through 7, I don't really have to, because the only reason he ever made that Takana that I have to do that was because he thought Kedusha Rishon, I mean, this is a good way to intellectually answer it, but it doesn't really help me, because I really believe that I do have a mitzvah of taking, I mean, all of Klal Yisrael takes Lula. We follow Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Takana. Odeneima, the Hadizah Mishchar B'Smikdash Hiskun Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Hainu Mishachar V'Mikdash Yushlaim Mimo. This is the real answer, I think. It's not a satisfying lumdus, but this is the real answer. There are two reasons you might want to make a Takana. I asked you before, why would you make a Takana Zeich L'Mikdash? What motivates it? So the answer we came up with was, the mitzvah is not there anymore. Another answer might be the mitzvah is there. Jews just don't have the ability to do it anymore. You know, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. It wasn't just like, okay, we're getting rid of this building. Everyone else just can stay where you are, live comfortably. Everyone's good. Just, you know, as you were before, we're just moving this building. We're, you know, raising this building. That's not the way the Chorban happens. Chorban happens with war and with Jews being thrown out of Israel and with entire communities being uprooted. That's how Chorban happens. So granted, we still have a mitzvah b'mikdash, but Jews couldn't easily just get to Yerushalayim and do this mitzvah. And because there were so many fewer people doing this mitzvah, even though the mitzvah exists, as a chiyuv it exists, but we couldn't do it anymore, that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana. The whole city was destroyed. They made gzeros that a Jewish foot cannot set foot in Yerushalayim. It took a long time till that gzero went away. Ma'at ma'at chazra v'nivnisa ma'at ma'at nitna rishosli slowly siyashiba slowly slowly the gzera went away slowly slowly. Jews were allowed back. Jews were allowed to build again. V'imkein nispatla oz b'meshach zman zeh mitzvah sluv d'mikdash kol shiva afal gav d'kidush shalim v'amikdash lo batla lo yelum nital el yom rishon shal chag b'gvulim makam sheyisrael mitzuyin sham. Unbelievable, he says. The mitzvah does apply in the mikdash. You have to go. You have to do it there. We forgot about it because we couldn't. We weren't allowed. So we stopped doing it. But that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had to make a takana. Not because there wasn't a mitzvah, but there wasn't an ability to be mekayim the mitzvah. Yeah.
So that answers the second question of why he make a takana.
Doesn't answer the first question. Correct.
So what about now when we are able to be mekayim the mitzvah?
Right, doesn't answer the first question. Now that we are able to make a mitzvah, why don't we go? It answers why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to make that takana. Oh, I mean you're asking, maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana should be undone now
right.
Also.
Right.
Right, so maybe that would be in the category of something that you need a davreshem minyan, you need a beis din that's gadol b'chacham minyan to undo it even if the reason doesn't apply. Maybe it would fit into that category of something like, the reason we don't take medicine on Shabbos, even though the reason doesn't apply anymore, we still keep it. You know, maybe
you have the takanas, then you don't have to do.
That could be also that they go hand in hand. That once you have a takana, a zeichel mikdash mela, but that's hard to say. Although, if you understand the takana as saying, here's what you have to do as a replacement of the mitzvah b'mikdash kal shiva. The Chacham therefore have the right to tell you, b'shevi altasa, b'yoker davar min haTorah, b'shevi altasa, don't go to the Mikdash and do this mitzvah. You don't have to go to the Mikdash and do this mitzvah because you are doing the Takana Zeichel Mikdash. Maybe they thought it would be more worthwhile in the long run, because there are going to be ups and downs in times where Jews aren't going to be allowed or don't have the wherewithal, don't have the money to get to Yerushalayim. So maybe they felt it would be more a better kiyum in the long run to have a takanat rabbanan of lulav nitov kol shuvah b'medina rather than just doing the daraisas when we can. Maybe. Yeah, maybe that's it. Anyway, he has more to say there, but that's Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau's basic thesis, his basic issues. The kashas are murderous. You have to deal with the kashas. I think his second mahalik makes a little more sense to me. All right, Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up tomorrow, right during the sugya.